Blog Talk Radio.
Look at of the Bible did.
that way when we're reading the scriptures, we know how to bring forward or to interpret or to translate or to understand transliteration. Because in the Bible, they have done a lot of transliteration, except for when it comes to the name of Jesus. But everywhere else, they've done transliteration, and we'll get the definition for that shortly. So that we understand when we're reading the scriptures what has been done in the past, so that we understand the rules. It's like having a map, and the map has symbols on it. And if you don't have a legend that tells you what the symbols mean, you won't be able to properly interpret the map. The scriptures are the same way, okay? And so you have to know the rules that they use to translate the scriptures from Hebrew to Greek to Latin to English, those types of things. You have to know those rules to understand how do we get from the Hebrew to the English. It is important that we know that, okay? So we're going to be looking at some of that on tonight. I hope I've done it justice. Probably we'll have to rework this part in the future to make it flow a little bit more easily. But I want to say, you know, we welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English. Let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High in our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. According to 2 Peter, I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 22-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on him. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory and honor and praise. And we lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And there is none other Elohim other than you, Father. So we bow down and give you the knee, Father. We fall on our face before you. For you are our Elohim and there is no other. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. We extol thee on today. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And amen. Our scripture for tonight, as for this series, is John chapter 4, verse 24. The book of John chapter 4 and verse 24. Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we are going to go ahead and start this off. I prepared another document here, and we want to go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Start this off in Jeremiah chapter 23. And I want to say shalom to Sister Rachel, to Sister Mary, to Sister Denise. Shalom to you all. And I pray you've had a blessed weekend and week. Jeremiah chapter 23. And let me just bring up my document here. And I'm actually going to share my PC. And so if you are in the room, you can see my screen. And window. A hot second here. For some reason, I'm having a hard time finding this particular document. Why are those things not showing up? That didn't work. Give me 1 second. I'm not finding the screen that I'm looking for. We don't want that. Only why is it doing this? Okay, give me a hot second. Let me close some things down. I may have too many things open. Close that. Close it. All right, let me make sure that's my active screen. Okay, I guess I'm not going to be sharing. I don't know what's going on here, why it won't show. Let me go out and come back in. I'll be right back in the room. Okay. I think the media server is not allowing me to. I know why. My bad. Hold on. I know what's going on. Okay. I'm going to come in the room. I need to come in the room off of this other computer. So let me do this. Okay, I'm going to mute myself. Mute my mic. I don't have the mic up in there. All right, so let me share my screen now. Tell me if you can see my spirit screen, Sister Mary or Sister Denise. Okay, are you able to see my screen? Oh, wait a minute. No, I can't. Don't have sound. One of you will say something.
The
Okay, I can hear you. I think that might have been Sister Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's Sister Rachel on the phone line. Just a sec, I'm trying to get sound from the room. This is Bluetooth audio. Okay, I'm going to put on my headset. I don't have time to make a speech right now. Okay, if you want to say something in the room. I can't hear you now. Okay, that's on my headset. All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump into this. We should be in Jeremiah chapter 23. And Sister Denise, is Sister Tracy with you? Did you say uh-uh? Okay, all right. Well, she can listen to this by broadcast or whatever. If she chooses to. Jeremiah chapter 23, starting in verse 21 through 27. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Am I an Elohim at hand, saith Yah, and not an Elohim afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith Yah, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith Yah, thy lie in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name. His name is important to us. Okay? By their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name, for Baal. So this is important because we need to understand that the prophet caused the people to forget the name of the Most High or the name of Baal. Okay? Now, let's continue in this. And, oh, let me do this. Is the sound good coming through to you, Sister Rachel? Because I'm going to take you off of the speakerphone.
Yes, I can hear you.
So is that clear? Okay. All right. Good. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does Baal mean? We need to know what this name Baal means, okay? Because this is a Hebrew, it's a Canaanite name for a deity, but it's also a Hebrew word, okay? A Hebrew word. Baal. In Hebrew, the word Baal primarily means Lord or Master or Owner. It is used in a general sense to refer to a person who has authority, control, or ownership. or over something or someone. Baal can also mean husband when referring to a husband's role as the head of the household. Now, Baal means lord or master or owner. When they change, since there's a Canaanite deity with his name, and his name means lord or master or owner, when they changed his name, translated it from the Hebrew into the English and made it Lord, when you translate Lord back to Hebrew, it means what? Baal. So it's like they took the name of this Canaanite deity, the meaning for it, and in the Hebrew translated it to its Hebrew name, meaning Lord or Master, and then changed the Most High's name to that. Changed how they refer to the Most High in the scriptures to that name. Does everybody understand what I just said? Yes, no, maybe so?
No.
Okay. So, we in the English, by using the word Lord, if we translate that name back to the Hebrew, we would be calling the Most High Baal. Does that make sense? Okay. However, it is important to note that Baal also historically significant for its association with the certain ancient Canaanite and Phoenician gods or Elohim. In these polytheistic cultures, Baal was the name of a god who was often considered a fertility and a storm deity. Now, storms come in what, clouds? Okay, so keep that in mind, because I'm going to show you that the name of Yah is he who rides upon the clouds. But that's also name for who? Baal. So now, when it calls us to use this name, Lord, and Baal has a similar title to Yah, then you could actually be mixing them together if you don't use his name. So the worship of Baal and other deities was prevalent in ancient Near East, including parts of the region that are now modern-day Israel and Palestine. In the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, Hebrew Bible, Baal is sometimes used in a derogatory or negative context to refer to these foreign gods or these foreign deities. The Israelites were warned against worshiping Baal. So if, you know, I feel like if it was the true Israelites, the true Hebrews that the translators were following, they would have never allowed them to actually substitute the title of Lord, the Lord, in all caps, for the name of the Most High. They would have understood, well, you're actually calling the Most High Baal. And can carry derogatory connotations as a symbol of idolatry and the worship of false gods. So the Most High said, if you worship Baal, he says he hates Baal and don't worship him. But then when they translate the Bible, they turn around and use the name of Baal for his name. By substituting his name with the word Lord. So while the primary meaning of Baal in Hebrew is Lord or Master, its significance varies depending upon the context and its association with the worship of specific deities. In the Bible, is Lord a proper name? So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures off. And reading these scriptures, you may think that Lord is a proper name. Okay, but it's not a proper name. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We're going to get verse 3. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3. Because this is the English, okay? The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, we're going to come back to these verses later on, because if you're reading the English, it's just told you that the name of Elohim is what? The Lord. Okay. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. The book of Jeremiah chapter 32. 33, and let's get verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 2. Thus saith Yah, the maker thereof, Yah that formed it, who established it. The Lord is his name. So if I read that straight out, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Now, if we were going to take this word Lord in the English and retranslate it into Hebrew, those verses would read, Exodus 15 and 3 would read, Baal is a man of war. Baal is his name. It would say, thus saith Baal, the maker thereof, Baal that formed it, to establish it. Baal is his name. Seek him that maketh this. Go to Amos chapter 5 and verse 8. Amos chapter 5 and verse 8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars of Orion, and turneth the shadows of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon... I can't see that whole thing. Upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Amos chapter 9 and verse 6. Amos chapter 9 and verse 6. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and has found his troops in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Okay? So we would be reading those that Baal is his name if we took the Lord and retranslated it from the Hebrew, translated back from the English straight back to the Hebrew. Okay? Baal. And so that is why I don't like to use that word Baal. I don't like to use the word Lord, because the English word Lord is a direct translation from the word Baal, a Canaanite deity, okay? So we should understand that when we look at these rules, understanding that that word Lord is not a proper name. So his name could not be the Lord. You would actually have to translate it back to his actual name, or if you translated Lord as a name back in the Hebrew, say, what was the name Lord in Hebrew? It would be Baal. That is craziness. Okay? And so that's why I don't like to use that there. I might just move your screen. Let me see what happens on my other computer. It'll show me moving that. Yeah, but not the way I thought it did. Okay. All right, let's continue. So have I lost anybody yet? You, Sister Denise, or you, Sister Mary, you, Sister Rachel. Okay. What about you, Sister Rachel? Did I lose you there?
No. I'm still here. Hold on.
Okay, and if you're... you know what? Hold on. I forgot. I took you off a speakerphone. Did I lose you, my sister? Yeah.
No, I'm
here.
Still here.
Okay, did I lose you with that explanation?
No, understand.
Okay. All right. So we're going to continue here. I'm going to actually put you back on speakerphone. Let me know if it gets raggedy for you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So the English, the Hebrew word Baal translates in the English to Lord or Master. So if we take the word Lord and translate it back into the Hebrew, then we come up with the Hebrew word Baal. Okay. And so that is critical to us understanding how they have taken the name that the Most High said he hated and entered it into the what, English translation? Okay, so let's continue here. So it's not a proper name, okay, in the English, okay? It's not a proper name in the Bible. In the Bible, the word Lord is used in various ways and can have different meanings depending upon the context. It is not a proper name in the sense of being a personal name like John or Mary. So if it's not a personal name, then it cannot be the personal name for who? The Most High. Okay? Instead, Lord is often used as a title, a form of address to refer to Elohim or to show respect and reverence. So they took the name of the Most High, okay, and it's called a tetragrammaton. We're going to get into this in a second. The four letters, YHWH or Yod Heh Vod Heh, in the Hebrew, which were the letters that represented the Most High's name. And every place that they found that in Scripture, they replaced it with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay, so they replaced his name with a what, title? Okay, and subsequently, because they put it in all caps, then if you were to take his name from the English and put it into a Hebrew translation, it would come back as capital B, capital A, capital A, capital L. Baal. Who he tells us that he what, hates? And he told us that his prophets caused his people to forget his what, name? For Baal. Okay. Here are a few common uses. So, Yahweh or Jehovah in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, the personal name of Elohim is often represented by the tetragrammaton. YHWH or Yod Heh Vod Heh, which is sometimes pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah in the English. This is the divine name revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. In many English translations of the Bible, Yod Heh Vod Heh or YHWH is rendered as Lord in capital letters to signify the divine name. So everywhere where you see the Lord, you need to know that what? It is his actual what? Name? And not Lord. Okay? And so it's important that you know his name. Alliteration. Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is in the scriptures 6,702 times. In the Old Testament alone. So do you think that he wanted his name known? And he wanted us to call him by his name. He said, call upon my what? Title? My name. So it's important that we know his name. Okay? Because he gave it to us over 6,000 times, almost 7,000 times in the scriptures in the Old Testament alone. And yet and still, people don't know his name. So we're going to look at some things. Now, the so-called Hebrews, when they were telling the King James translators how to translate his name, they told them that they didn't use his name, that they used the tetragrammaton, or they used Adonai, means Lord, which translates back to what? Baal, master. Okay? And it's often used as a title for Elohim. Now, the Most High never told them to do this, but this is what they told the translators. And this is what they did. They switched out his name for Adonai. Okay? And so, in switching out his name for that, they caused the people to do what? Forget his name. So it's often used as a title for Elohim to show respect and reverence. It is used in conjunction with Yahweh-Bodhi to form the divine title Adonai Yahweh-Bodhi, or as they said, the Lord who? God. So when you see the Lord God, so know that that really is what? His name there? Because they mix Adonai, master or Lord or Baal. So really, if you translated that back into Hebrew, it would be Baal Yahweh Bodhi. Okay? So they would be mixing this Canaanite God's name with the name of the Most High. Titles for Jesus in the New Testament, the Lord, is frequently used as a title for Jesus Christ. It reflects his divine authority and lordship as the Son of Elohim and Savior. Now, this is what they intended for it to mean. But we know who Yah is, or we're going to find out who he is. And so he had a human name, which actually said what he was there to do. For example, Jesus is often referred to as the Lord Jesus or Lord and Savior. Now, you know, we might think these things don't mean anything. They do. Words are important. And if I called you out of your name, would you answer? And so why do we think the Most High is going to answer if we call him out of his name? Especially if we call him by a name of a deity that he say he hates. Okay, so respect for address in various contexts. Lord is you, huh? You getting an echo? Okay, let me know if you still get the echo when you're on mute. All right, Sister Mary, you still hearing an echo, or was it you? Okay. All right, amen. You can unmute yourself when you have something to say. Respectful address. Now, in the English, this word Lord also can be used as a title of respect, or they used it that way when they had, you know, the slave and master days, or they had the serf and what they used to call the serf, the lower caste people in Europe, and, you know, royalty. So Lord is used as a form of respect address, similar to serf or master. It can be directed toward human authorities as well as Elohim. For example, in the gospel, the people often address Jesus as Lord. Okay, now, I don't think in the original Hebrew that they would have addressed him as Lord. That's an added, that's something added in the transliteration, the translation, and not the transliteration. And so we're going to find out the difference between the two. He would have just been called Yeshua or Yehoshua, okay? But he would not have been called the Lord, because that would have been calling him Baal. And they would not have done that. So while Lord is not a personal name in the conventional sense, it is a significant title and form of address used in the Bible to refer to Elohim, to Yeshua or Jesus, as a sign of respect and reverence. In some cases, Lord is used to represent the divine name of Yahweh-Bodhi or Jehovah, Yehovah, or Yah, especially in the English translation. Why was the word Lord used in the Christian Bible? The use of Lord in the Christian Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, Hebrew Bible, has its origins in the tradition of the Hebrew Scriptures and the reverence for the divine name of Elohim. It is a way of representing the name of Elohim, which is often referred to as the Tetragrammaton, Yod, He, Vod, He, or YHWH in the Hebrew. The practice of using Lord in capital letters to represent his name, this name, is known as the Tetragrammaton translation. So everywhere where they found his name, or the Tetragrammaton, what they call the four letters of his name, the Tetragrammaton of his name, they replaced it with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, or they replaced it with the Lord Elohim, the Lord God, or the Lord Yahweh. Okay? So we need to understand that and understand that every place that we see that in the Bible, we have to know that it's the actual real name. But it's the name Lord is not his name. Okay? Because that is a translation or a transliteration of his actual name. So it's like they were told that, hey, the name of the Most High is Tu, said that the prophet prophesied lies and caused the people to forget his name. And his name is in the scriptures 6,702 times. So it's important that we understand that we know some form of his actual name, and the Lord is not it. Okay? So here's why Lord is used in the Christian Bible. Reverence for the divine name. In Jewish tradition, the name of Elohim represented Yod Heh Vod Heh, was considered so sacred that it was not to be pronounced casually. Instead, when reading the scriptures, aloud, Jewish scribes and readers would use the term Adonai, meaning Lord or Master, for the divine name to show reverence. This practice was carried over into Christianity tradition. But that is a violation of what the Most High said to do, that call on my name. We want to invoke his presence. We have to call him by name. Translating Hebrew into English. When translating the Hebrew scriptures into English, translators face the challenge of how to convey the divine name, Yahweh Bodeh, which lacks vowels and is traditionally not pronounced. Respect the Jewish tradition and the sanctity of the divine name, English translators use Lord in capital letters to represent Yahweh Bodeh, wherever it appeared in the Hebrew text. So you now know that every place that his name was, they replaced it with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay? So when you read your Bible, then you should know that whenever you see that, it's his actual name underneath that. His name is not Lord. Lord is a replacement. So they say out of respect for his actual name. Problem is, if you translate that name back into the Hebrew, Lord, or that word, that title back into the Hebrew, especially with capital letters, you will come out with capital B, capital A, capital A, capital L. You would not come back with Yod Heh Vod Heh. You come back with Baal. So we have to know that, okay? And so we don't want to call the Most High Baal. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 23. As a reminder, okay, the reason that I'm digging on this is because that lied, and they caused the people to forget his name, okay? So Jeremiah 23 and 27, that's just a reminder. These false prophets that prophesied lies, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, and as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. So most English-speaking people are really running around calling the Most High the Lord, are really calling him Baal. That's what they've been taught to call him. But that's what he says in the scriptures, that the people, the prophets, caused the people to forget his name and forgotten his name for the name of Baal, a Canaanite deity. Consistency in translation, using Lord consistently for the divine name, helps to maintain consistent translation practices across the Old Testament. So they did it everywhere that they found it. They replaced his name with the Lord for consistency. The problem with that is there are verses in Torah and in the prophets that are prophecies that it is telling you specifically that it is Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh that is being referenced, that at the name of Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh or Yah or Jehovah or Yehovah, every knee shall bow. So when they bring it over into the New Testament and they attach that title, Lord, to the name of Jesus Christ, then you lose actually who Messiah actually is. The title that they use for Lord, as they used in the Old Testament, they are conflating these things and mixing them, and they cause you to lose who the scripture is actually talking about. The Most High never mentioned in Torah that he had a son. He never mentioned in Torah that he was going to send a son. Okay? He never said that his son would be the Savior or the Redeemer. He always said that he was those things. And so if we had kept it, if the translators had kept this proper, and they had kept Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh or the Tetragrammaton in the scriptures, then in Isaiah and in Jeremiah and in Zechariah and all these other prophets, you would have known who was coming, and you would have known who Messiah is. It would not be, it would not trip people up the way that it does. Okay? As a result, when we see Lord in the Christian Old Testament, the divine name of Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, or YHWH, pronounced Yehovah or Jehovah. If you're going with the Hebrew, Yehovah or Yahweh, or in the English, Jehovah, showing a respect for the sacredness of Elohim's name. In some modern translations, you may encounter Yahweh or Jehovah as rendered of the divine name in certain passages. However, Lord remains a common, widely recognized convention for representing the divine name in English translations of the Bible. Only problem is, Lord is not a what? Name. Okay, it's not a name, never has been a name, except for when you convert it back into the Hebrew, and it becomes Baal. Okay, and we surely don't want to call him Baal. What is the divine name of Elohim in the Bible? What is the name that's revealed in the Bible? The divine name of Elohim in the Bible is represented by the Tetragrammaton, which consists of four Hebrew letters. YHWH in English or Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh in the Hebrew. These four letters are often referred to as the Tetragrammaton, which means four-letter word in Greek. So when we look at the scriptures, we're going to look up a scripture, and I want you to go to, and then we're going to look at another reiteration of this. Well, we can use. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3. And I'm going to put let me see if my Bible comes up here or whether I'm going to stop screen sharing and start again. All right. looks like I have to stop screen sharing and start it again for you that are in the class. So give me a hot second here. Where did you go? Yeah, let me stop screen sharing and restart it. Because we're going to be coming out of this, we're going to go between the English and the Hebrew, the English and the Greek. So we can see the actual Hebrew name that is there versus what was translated, okay? Okay, if you'll bring back up screen sharing. And we're going to be going to Exodus chapter 15. Okay, so we have the scripture in the English. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, when we look at this in the Hebrew, then we have Yahweh or Jehovah is a man of war. Jehovah is his what? His name. Because they replaced his name with Lord. Everybody understand that? Okay. If we go, so the Hebrew for the Lord is Yehovah, the self-existent one, the self-existent or the eternal. That's what his name means. And it is the Jewish or the Hebrew national name of Elohim. Okay, now we're going to compare. Well, we'll come back and compare because then we're going to see that this is actually Yah, okay? We're going to see that this is actually the short form of this is Yah. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. So the Jehovah is a man of war. Jehovah is his name, not the Lord is his name. Okay? So we're going to be looking at Jeremiah. Chapter 33 and verse 2. Verse 2. Thus saith Yah, the maker of thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Now, if we put his actual name in there, it uses the same name, Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah, the maker thereof, Jehovah that formed it, to establish it, Jehovah is his name. Okay. Let's go get a couple of others, and then we'll move on. Go to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5 and verse 8. The book of Amos chapter 5 and verse 8. And the word of the Most High reads, seek him that maketh the seven stars of Orion, and turns the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and that pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Okay. But the same name in under the Lord, under the Hebrew, is Yehovah. So they were consistent in how they translated. Everywhere where we got the Lord, we got Yehovah, okay? Now, we want to go to, because this name also references another strong name in the concordance. So let's go to H3050. And if you look at your screen, can you see the Bible on your screen? Okay. I think I need to see what your screen is. So if we look at the bottom right hand, we have the name of what? Look right here. I'm going to highlight it. That's Yah. Let's hope we can get this. Okay. We have Jehovah here, right? Jehovah. And it says from H 1961, the self-existent one, the eternal, the national name of Elohim. And then it says now compare what H 3050 and H 3069. Okay, so we're gonna go to H 3050 in the strong as Yah. Okay. Yah. Contraction of H 3068, which was Jehovah. This is a contracted name, meaning the same. Now they have it at, in the English as what? Yah. The sacred name. But we're going to go to Jah as well, okay? And we're going to look and see what name they use there. Jah, the Lord, most vehement, compared names in like Isaiah, Hallelujah. Okay, this is his contracted name. Let's go to Psalm 68 and 4. The book of Psalm 68 and 4. And we're going to actually get this name, Jah. Jah, as in the J form, okay? Four. Now remember, it said that Baal rode upon the cloud, or was the god of the cloud. The clouds are in the what, heaven? Sing unto Elohim. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name, what? Or Jah, and rejoice before him. Now let's look at the Hebrew for this name, Jah. The Hebrew for this name is what? I clicked it and it shows up on the bottom right. It's Jah. Contraction of H3068. Meaning the same, Yah, the sacred name. Okay. Now, but they have it spelled as Yah, but it's pronounced what? Yah. Because there is no J sound in Hebrew. There is no letter that makes the J sound in Greek. So how they ever came up with the J sound, it's an English thing. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm guilty of doing that too, but I know that it is pronounced Hallelujah. Amen. Amen to that. Okay, let me bring this document back up that we're working from. And I guess I have to stop and start screen sharing again. I don't know why, if I put it in that window, it just, maybe I need to not share just the document, but actually share that window. Let me try that this time. Rather than just sharing the document, I'll share that window, so maybe whatever I put in that window will be what comes up. Let me pause this and start it over. Yeah, it actually is neither one. I mean, let me see how you're saying it's just disrespectful. How do you mean that? Mm-hmm. I wonder who you're talking to. I'm going to have to correct you. Sister, my name is not James. I think it is disrespectful in that regard, but I think in the regards to the scripture and spiritually, it was deceptive. It caused people to forget his name. Right. Search it out for yourself, right? Speak for me. Okay. So, yeah, when it comes to the scripture and the Most High, I think that this was diabolical, really, that what they did caused people to forget his name and to call him by somebody else's name, the name of another deity. One that he hates. Okay. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see if I can drag this over here and it becomes screen. I don't know. Exodus 6, not 3. Okay, and the copy that I have in the room, the English translation with the Hebrew next to it. And he says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and it has their name, has the Hebrew words next to it. I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of Elohim Almighty. But by my name, what? By not known to them. And when we look at that, that is the English translation with the J, but if we click on that name, it's going to actually come up as Yehovah. Okay? By my name, Yehovah, was I not known to them. Okay? Now, let's look at I am that I am. Remember where he told Moses? He says, who shall I tell the people sent me? And he says, I am. Tell them I am have sent thee. Let's look at that, okay? It's also, I think it's in Exodus 6. I didn't know if that verse down, but I believe it's Exodus 6. We want to look at that reiteration of this. Because he's been telling us his name the whole time. In one form or another. And they changed it. And so, let's see. Yeah. Let's go there. Exodus 3 and 14. And Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now, let's break this down. So we're going to click on the Hebrew for I am, okay? And let me stop my screen sharing because it didn't bring it. It won't share it on your screen, my Bible, like that. I thought it would, but when I move it over there, it doesn't actually change. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to start screen sharing again. Amen. And it should. It's good because telling you what his actual name is, what it actually means. I am, Haya, okay, means to what? Exist. I am the self-existent one. I am, I was, I shall be. Any form of am. It's a being verb, okay? So when it says am, Yah means am. Did you guys catch that? Yah means am. I am that I am. It sounds like a proclamation. But his name is am that I am. Tell them that I am has sent it unto you. I, the one who self-exists, whose name is am. I am is a state of being. I am, then I, Mary, or I, Denise, or I, Rachel. Am is his name. And that's revealed in Yah, the self-existent one. So when we read that, and Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am, is giving you the definition of his actual name in his name. It is one and the same. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I, Yah, have sent me unto you. So we put it in the Hebrew, Elohim said unto Moses, I, Yah, that I, Yah, has said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I, Yah, have sent me unto you. Yesha, Abim, Yesha. I am that I am. So when we read it in the English, because am is not really typically a, what, a proper name, we read that as, you know, him declaring that he is self-existent. But his name is am, because Yah is his name. Hayah, Bashem, Hayah. I am that I am. His name declares itself and what it means. The self-existent one. I exist that I exist. I am that I am. Go ahead and read verse 15. Because we're going to put his name in this verse, okay? We're going to replace this Lord with it, okay? And Elohim said moreover unto Moses, that thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Yah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I, Jehovah, or you can use the contracted name, and it's a sacred name, I, Yah. So let's read that again. And moreover, and Elohim said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Yah, Elohim of thy father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is his name forever. Name up at the beginning, Yah Elohim, right? Yah, Elohim of thy father. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. And then when we read verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Yah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, did he use the name? Go tell them, Yah, this is Elohim talking. This is Yah himself talking. Go and gather the elders of Israel and say unto them, Yah, Elohim of your fathers, Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt and out of the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to your voice when you use my name. He didn't say the Lord. But they didn't know him by the name of what? The Lord. They didn't know him by Adonai. Because he said, use my name. He said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't know me by my what? They knew me as Elohim Almighty. But by my name, Yah, was I not known to them. By my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, Yah, Elohim of the Hebrews. Because guess what? Pharaoh knew what Yah's name was. How did he know? Moses just told him. I don't know Yah. But he actually did know him. He knew him by another name. Because he was an Elohim in Egypt. But Pharaoh them didn't call him by his name. Not by this name. They knew him by another name. The Elohim, Yah Elohim of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now let us go and beseech thee 3 days' journey to sacrifice that we may sacrifice to Yah, our Elohim. The scriptures even sound different when you use his name. And this generic, the Lord, it does. It really does. But when you put his name in there, you know who you're talking about. And anybody else you talk to will know who you're talking about. They might say, I don't know who Yah is, but they're not going to think he's the Lord. Okay, so let's move on with this. So you see, Yah, I am that I am, is Yah. Yah, I am. Yah means am. Tell them that Yah, the Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent you. Okay. He had to invoke his name. Keep going. Verse 6:19. Just continue. Now, Hebrew is not written with any vowel sound, okay? So when you have Yad Hey Vod Hey, you don't really know where to put the vowel sound, okay? But who can reveal that to you? The Most High himself. So when I went before the Most High, and I said, I want to know your name. I want to know your actual Hebrew name. Because, you know, people are saying all kind of things. And I just want to know what to call you. He said, you've been calling my name the whole time. And he said, Hallelujah. He sent me to Psalm 68 and 4. He said, Yah. He said, but look at my name in the Hebrew. It is Yah. I didn't need any more explanation than that. I was good to go. Now, this is what the Hebrews or the Jews, whoever you want to look at, what they told them when they translated from the Hebrew to the Greek and to the Latin. They told them that the Most High's name was too sacred to pronounce. People to do what? Call on his name. And if you don't call on his name, over time you will forget his name. From generation to generation. Okay. That's what happens. And still to this day, people don't know his name. So we have to be mindful of that. He didn't say his name was too holy. Did we read that anywhere? Now, he did tell some Hebrews not to say his name. And you know why he told them not to say it? They're disobedient. He told them to wait in Jerusalem and let Nebuchadnezzar capture them, okay? Because he was going to use Nebuchadnezzar to move the righteous to Babylon, all right? Not the wicked, but the righteous. Because he was going to destroy Jerusalem, okay? And he was going to leave the wicked in Jerusalem. They ran to Egypt for safety. He said, don't go to Egypt. They called for the prophet, and I think it was Jeremiah. I'll give that prophet's name, but I believe it was Jeremiah. And Jeremiah came and told them, don't go to Egypt. Yah says, stay in Jerusalem, and you're going to be taken to Babylon, but it's going to be for your safety. I will keep you. I will keep you safe. And they didn't believe him. They asked him to prophesy to him, and then when he did, Allah. And they went ahead into Egypt. And guess what? God killed Pharaoh, the current Pharaoh that was in Egypt, and killed all of them. Pharaoh for trying to help them, and them for not believing in the Most High and going to Egypt, thinking that Egypt could help them. Okay? And he told anybody that went into Egypt, don't call my name, don't say my name. Well, he wants us to call on his name. So in the English translation of the Bible, you will often see the divine name, Yahweh, represented as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in capital letters. This convention is used to indicate the tetragrammaton and appears in the original Hebrew text. It is a way of showing respect for the sacred divine name, preserving the tradition of not casually pronouncing it. That was a false prophet lie. Because the Most High never said his name was too holy to what? To call on. He never said that. That was some prophet started lying and said he said that. Yah or Jah, a proper name of Elohim. Now what the world says is this. In certain religious and spiritual traditions, Yah or Jah is used as a shorter, informal form of the divine name of Elohim, particularly as derived from the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh in the Hebrew. Here's a brief explanation of each. Yah is often used as a poetic abbreviation form of the divine name of Yahweh. In the Hebrew scriptures or Old Testament, it appears in the words like Hallelujah or Alleluia, which means praise Yah or praise the Lord. In this context, Yah is always a way of addressing or praising Elohim, especially in songs, psalms, and prayers. Yah is similar to Yah, and see, this is where I say they are way off, because Yah and Yah are exactly the what? Same. Yah is similar to Yah and is used in similar ways as an abbreviation of the divine name. It can be found in certain religious spiritual contexts, particularly Rastafarianism. The Rastafarians just use Psalm 68 and 4. Now they want to say that they're the only ones that use what, Psalm 68 and 4? Rastafarians sometimes refer to God as Jah and believe that it represents the almighty and divine aspect of their faith. The Rastafarians knew that the name of the Most High was, they said Jah, because they had adopted the English, but they wouldn't have been saying Jah. They would have been saying what? Yah. Now, when you hear it in their songs, they say Jah from the English, but it really should be Yah. Okay. Or found out that the actual name for that they use as Jah is really says what? Yah. Okay. What Hebrew or Greek letters make the sounds of J? So you got to ask yourself this. Because this is going to come into transliteration, okay? And let me see where I put that definition for transliteration. Let's read the definition for transliteration first. What's on your screen right now? Is it the document or is it the Bible? It's black. Okay. See right here where I'm at. Okay, go ahead and start sharing again. Okay, definition of transliteration, right? So this is what transliteration is, and we have to understand it so that we can understand the difference between it and translation, okay? Transliteration is the process of converting the characters or letters of one writing system into the corresponding characters or letters of another writing system. Every writing system don't use A, B, and C. You understand that, right? Hebrew, they don't have A, B, and C. They have the what? The hieroglyphic and the, what else? Hebrew is in hieroglyphic and in, I think they call it Sanskrit or cuneiform. But it's not A, B, and C. We understand it, right? So you have to translate their letters into the what? English letter? Okay. Literation is the process of converting a yod to a yod, okay? And they might use it as a yod with a J. But it's really, it's a yod, and it should be translated with a yod. So if they move it, if they change it to a J, they have missed what? Transliterated? Okay. So transliteration is letter for letter, okay? That's what that means. It involves representing the sounds or the graphemes of one language or script using the characters or symbol of another language or script. Transliteration is often used for various purposes, such as language conversion. Transliteration can help people write and read words and names from one language in the script of another language, even if they are not fluent in the language being transliterated. For example, converting Russian Cyrillic script into Latin alphabet for English speakers. Preservation of pronunciation. In some cases, transliteration is used to preserve the pronunciation of words when they are written in a different script. This is common when dealing with proper names or loan words from other languages. So when they transliterated from the Hebrew to the Greek or the Hebrew to the Latin, if there is no Y, if there is no J sound in Hebrew and no J sound in Greek, then they should not be able to come up with a J sound going from the Greek, from the Hebrew to the Greek. There is no J sound in Greek, and there is no J sound in Hebrew, so you shouldn't come up with a J sound when you go from Hebrew to Greek. Does that make sense? You can't come up with a J sound because it don't exist. You have a yod in Hebrew, then you got to find the letter that makes the Y sound in what? Greek. Okay? You don't say, here's the Hebrew yod, which is pronounced with a Y sound, and say that it translates to a Hebrew J sound. Make sense, everybody? All right, amen. Information. information processing. Transliteration is used in information technology and databases to ensure the data can be processed correctly across different systems. It helps maintain consistency in data representation. Cultural and academic studies. Scholars and researchers may use transliteration to study texts or languages from different regions and time periods, making it easier to compare and analyze linguistic data. So it's important to note that transliteration is distinct from translation. So transliteration is the letter-for-letter translation with the sound that the letter makes. Okay, while transliteration focuses on representing the characters or the letters of one script in another, translation involves conveying the meaning of the word or text from one language to another. So when we say something is mistranslated, it means that somebody has the understanding of what the actual words mean. Okay, so if it said I went to the store in this other language is market, then you can say I went to the market because you're saying basically the what? Same thing? Okay, but if you say store and I went to the store and somebody said you went to the sea, then they missed what? Translated. Okay. Now, if they're misspelling a word or mistranslating or transliterating a letter for letter, then if something was, let's say something was an A in English, and they transliterated it to a Y in Hebrew, that would be a what? Mistransliteration. The wrong letter for the what? Wrong letter. Everybody understand that? So transliteration is when you are copying and changing the letters from one language to the letters in another language. And it should be if the Yod in Hebrew makes a Y sound, then when they translate it to the English, if we got a letter that makes the Y sound, then they should translate it to the letter that makes the Y sound. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, when they translate, then now they are saying that this word has this meaning. And so, Yah in the Hebrew means am in the English. But if they say Yah in the Hebrew means brother in the English, then they would have missed what? Translated. So we understand the two differences. Okay, and that's important. In transliteration from Hebrew to Greek into English, you may find various conventions for representing sounds that do not have direct counterparts in the English alphabet. For example, the Hebrew Yod may transliterate as Y, and in the Greek as the iota, and may also be translated as I or Y, depending upon the context. So the Greek iota has a Y, can have an I or a what? Y sound. Okay, but it don't have a J sound. It's important. Everybody understand that? I or a Y sound, but it don't have a J sound. So when working with the Hebrew or Greek text in English, you may encounter different translation conventions, but there is no direct letter in these alphabets that corresponds to the English what? J sound. There is no Greek letter that makes a J sound. There is no Hebrew letter that makes a J sound. So you can't go from the Hebrew or the Greek and get a J sound. So how can you go into the English when you have a letter in the English that makes the Y sound or the I sound? So what is Jesus' Hebrew name? The The name Jesus is an anglicized form of the name used in the New Testament. An anglicized form of the name used in the New Testament of the Bible for the central figure of Christianity. In the Hebrew, the name Jesus is typically represented as Yeshua, with a Y, or Yehoshua, both which have similar meanings. Yeshua, the name is commonly used to represent Jesus in Hebrew. Now, that should be the opposite around. Yeshua should be represented in Hebrew and Jesus in the what, English? But you can't have, you can't really come up with the name Jesus from the Hebrew or the Greek because there's no letter or name that starts with a J sound. Does that make sense? It is derived from the Hebrew root Yasha, which means to save or to deliver. Therefore, Yeshua can be understood to mean Yahweh or Yahweh or Elohim is salvation. Let me look at something. I want to see what they say. Now, they know that it's translated from Yeshua from the Hebrew, but Christian significance in Christian tradition, the name Jesus is highly significant because it's the name of the central figure of Christianity. Believed to be the Messiah, the Son of Elohim, the Savior of humanity. The name Jesus is used to represent the person through whom Christians believe salvation and forgiveness of sins are obtained. But the name Yeshua has a specific meaning. It means Yah saves or Elohim saves. The name Jesus does not mean that. It has no meaning. It represents something. It represents who Christians believe salvation and forgiveness of sins are obtained, but it don't actually mean that. It don't actually have a meaning. You go back to where it's supposed to be translated from, then you would have to come up with the same meaning. What? Yah saves? Or Elohim is salvation? But there's no way for them to get back there. In the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as Yeshua in the original Greek text, which is then translated as Jesus. So this is a what? Translation? But is it really? Yeah, it has to be translation because it's not a transliteration. Because they would have actually translated his name with a Y. If there ain't no J sound in Hebrew, there's no way you can come up with a J sound with transliteration. A letter including the what? Sound. So what sound in the English makes the Y sound? The Yah sound. Only the Y makes that sound. So that's a mistransliteration, but it may be a translation. A difference in the meaning, right? A letter is wrong. But they could translate it to say, oh, Yeshua means it equals to Jesus. That's just a translation. That word, that name in the English is Jesus, but that name in the Hebrew is Yeshua. But had they done a letter-for-letter translation or transliteration, they would have came up with Yahshua or Joshua. Yahshua. Okay? Something behind this name. Okay? Jesus, right. And in every other language, almost other, every other language, guess what sound that J sound makes? A Y sound. Now, this word comes from in the Greek, okay? Because remember, the Greek has the I sound, or the wife now? In the modern name Jesus, in the modern name Jesus, as it appears in the Bible and commonly used in the English Bible, is a transliteration. Now this is a transliteration of the name Iosus. Okay, but there is no J sound in the Greek, so it can't be a transliteration because the I sound or the Y sound in the Greek don't make a J sound. So you can't really say that it's a transliteration. So it's actually a mistranslation or a mistransliteration because there's no way that they, if they say Iosus and the I, the long, the capital I or the L, that looks like an L, or the I, both had a Y sound. So this would have been Yahosis. And then they changed it to Jesus. Of the Hebrew name Yeshua or Yehoshua. Here's how the name came about in the Bible. Hebrew name, the name of the central figure whom Christians believe to be the Messiah, the son of Elohim, was originally given the Hebrew name Yeshua or Yehoshua. These names mean Yahweh saved or Elohim saved, and were common names in the Jewish culture of the time. Greek translation. I can believe it's a translation. These New Testament, the New Testament of the Bible was primarily written in Greek. When the Hebrew text, which includes the name Yeshua, were translated into the Greek, the name was rendered as Iosus. This is a common practice in translating names between languages when there is no exact phonetic equivalent for the sounds of the original name. The Latin influence. Now we're going to see where the J came from. The Latin, the Bible was also translated into Latin, and the Latin Vulgate translated Iosus was rendered as Ius, or that makes a, let me see what this, how this sounds in Latin. Hold on a second. English. Pronunciation. How to pronounce.com. At 100%, I can't hear that. I go to L sound. Find it on your end. I want to try that out of, that's Latin, so I want to hear it in Latin. Japanese. Latin. Okay. Yeah, I don't know why I'm not hearing that in my speaker. Probably because I'm using this microphone in the room. I cannot hear it. On my big computer, if I can change that to I hear somebody trying it. I can get it come up on my I'm going to give it another minute to see if I can get this. It won't come up for you? Hold on a second. Let me see where I downloaded this stuff to. I see what's going on with my Bluetooth. Windows 10 doesn't recognize this Bluetooth that I have. And I had to download an older driver. It seems like when it reboots, it knows the new driver back out there. So it doesn't recognize it. Yeah, you have to look up Latin. That spelling is from the Latin. Mm-hmm. Sound that's making. Download. You know, I downloaded this last night. That really is. come back. I'll have to get my speakers working, my Bluetooth. Yeah, I'll have to get the old drivers back on here. It's not working, recognizing my speakers aren't recognizing the Bluetooth. I'm using a new driver. Okay, we'll come back to that. We'll go ahead and get back to this Latin. So the Latin, let's look at the Latin influence. The Bible was also translated into Latin, and the Latin Vulgate translation, iosus, or iosus, was rendered as iosus. Latin was widely used language in Western Church during the Middle Ages. English transliteration. As the Bible was translated into English, the name iosus from the Latin Vulgate was eventually translated as Jesus. This transition took place over time, and Jesus became the accepted form of the name. So the modern name Jesus, used in the English Bible, is a result of a transliteration process that occurred in the Bible, was translated from the Hebrew to the Greek into the Latin, and finally into English. So the J is coming from, you're saying that the J is actually coming from the Latin. But I'm believing that Latin, I think that's a mistransliteration again. But I have to hear how that letter sounds in the Latin. It has become a standard name for the central figure of Christianity in the English-speaking community. I know. I can go here and ask this question. What sound? So the Latin makes a long E sound. E like so it says in Latin the letter I typically represents the sound I, which is similar to the long E sound in the English word C and tree. It is a high front vowel sound pronounced E. Okay. So that would actually be E. And not what Jesus. So I guess they said Jesus because E and G and J, G, Jesus. But they really, the Latin, it has the, starts with an I that makes a long E sound. And then they changed it into English to what, from, so you would think that they would use a G instead of a J. Jesus, but we might be saying that name wrong in the English. Jesus, I guess it would be the same. C, does the Latin have a letter that makes the Y sound? Does the Latin have a letter? No, I don't want to ask that way. What letter in the Latin make the Y sound? So Latin, the problem is Latin doesn't have a Y sound. Okay? In Latin, the letter Y does not have a distinct sound of its own as it does in English. Instead, classic Latin, the sound that corresponds to the English Y sound is typically represented by the letter I. Latin Janus is pronounced with a J sound at the beginning, like Janus. Julius is pronounced with a J sound in the middle, like Julius. So classic Latin, the letter I is used, or the big I is used to represent, or that may be, yeah, I is used to make the vowel I in consonant J, which is equivalent to the English Y sound in certain positions within words. I don't know of a J sound that makes a Y sound in any word. So let me ask that. In what word, English word, does the J make a Y sound? Because I don't know any. Oh, when you're going like, because that's a Spanish name. So only time you get a yes sound in with a J in English is when you're pronouncing like Juan. Like Juan, the name Juan, J-U-A-N, is pronounced, the J is pronounced with a Y sound in English, reflecting the pronunciation in Spanish. But this is truly a bastard language. Okay, so we see where the name came from, but it really should have a what, Y sound? And having a Y sound, what we really want to take away from this is, I don't, you know, hate on people use the name of Jesus, but in our English Bible, the name, the word Lord is not a what, proper name? Name is not Lord. It is Yah or Jehovah. And Messiah's name is Yeshua. And so whenever we see, only thing I ask people to do, you know, whatever name they're convicted of. Okay, if you're convicted of the name of Jesus, that when you are translating, when you're reading, that you translate Lord into his name. It changes the whole thing for me. So that is the name portion of this. And then on next Tuesday, we will start getting into the scriptures that show every title I gave himself in Torah, he gave to Messiah in the New Testament. Every title. And he says, he don't share his glory with who? Nobody. Nobody would include his son. Except for it was him. And when we realize that, then he's not sharing his glory. He's just giving himself the same glory as he had from the beginning. And so we will stop with that. We have 4 minutes after. And are there any questions? All right, amen. So we will stop here. Sister Denise, you can point Sister Tracy to this lesson. If she wants to, I think she may be still struggling. Tell her to come on back, and we'll walk her through it. You know, we don't want to believe that we've been taught wrong, and we don't want to change how we see things. We're comfortable where we're at, so. Tell her to come on back. And then after I lay it out for her, if she don't want to see it, then there's nothing I can do. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. Remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening. I know it's late for y'all. You're welcome.
Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
I will tell her, shalom, my sisters, peace and blessings.